That world was made for our rational mind, and our rational mind was made for that world. So the world began with these great common tools in the hands of the people that God made. And the world is going to end with us putting importance back on these great common assets. The moral asset, the spiritual identity, one soul, the spiritual identity, the moral nature that God made, the rational nature and the rational discipline that God created us for. The world is going to come back to this. Just as it began with that, it shall come back to that. An appreciation for human life in the abstract. We are spiritual creatures. And the greatest learning that we can get on this earth is the knowledge that we are more importantly abstract than concrete. And our identity is more important in the abstract than it is in the concrete. Now, I mean, everybody here should understand what I'm saying. Everybody here should readily grasp what I'm saying. Concrete, I mean your flesh and your body, your flesh. Many people have seen my physical picture, but they don't know me. It's only those who have seen my invisible picture who really know me. They have seen the way I feel. They have seen my emotions. They have seen my way of thinking. They have seen me in abstract. And they know me, but many have seen me in body, and they don't know a goddamn thing about me. Now, excuse that for coming in, but that's something I left behind in the neighborhood. And it almost expressed itself fully. To understand this inherent responsibility, this inborn responsibility that God created us for, we have to have that background I just gave you. We have to have that background. God put in one person, and I shouldn't say person really, I should use the language the translated literally. God put in one soul. God put in one soul all that was necessary for man to live on this earth, benefit from it, utilize what it offers, share it with his family, and prosper, and have a virtual paradise on this earth. Put it in one soul. If we are really believers in Christianity, or in the Bible, and in the Quran, or in Islam, then we believe that we all descended from that one soul called Adam. May peace be upon him. And if we believe that, we can reason a little bit further that Adam still lives. How does a peach tree live? It lives because the seed from the previous tree has been put in the ground again, and the tree has come up again. So how does Adam live? Because the seed from the previous man was put into the womb again, and it kept living. So actually, whatever God created Adam with, all of us still have it. All of us still have it. So if Adam was created to have responsibility for himself and for the whole environment on this earth, yes, the whole environment for this earth. The Bible speaks of it, but it's more elusive, more, pardon me, vague, more shrouded in mystery than what the Quran presents. The Quran makes it very clear that God put Adam in the earth and said to the angels, I'm making a Khalifa in the earth. And Khalifa means one who's going to be responsible for himself, the human community, and also the natural environment. That's exactly what it means. He said, but you can't do it without great knowledge and power. And we know that's how man have gone to the moon, right? With great knowledge and great fuel power. Rocket fuel power. Great power to lift that rocket and cause that rocket to break the pull of gravity and go to the moon. Yes. So many proofs that we have in this real world today. Today is the most difficult time for people to come to faith, and also the easiest time for people to come to faith. At the same time, at one and the same time. It's difficult because we are not in the immediate picture or surroundings that God made. Our immediate surroundings made by man. Those walls there, clothes I wear, the transportation out there. A horse ain't waiting for me out there. I hope it ain't. Something with horsepower, but not a horse. And I'd be terribly disappointed if I ain't got nothing but a horse out there waiting for me when I get ready to go to the airport. But at one time, there was only God's creation everywhere, you know. Nothing. You look, God's creation. Even the house you lived in, you know. Very simple house in the beginning. Tree leaves. Yes. Straw. Oh, yes. Mud. Yes. Yes. Very simple starts. Very simple beginnings. But now you live within man's mind. That's what you live in. You live within man's creations. You live within man's mind all around you. So really, if man doesn't help you to be aware of God and what God wants out for you in your life, you won't get it. Because the whole environment is showing you nothing but man. So that's what makes it so difficult now to have faith and have it truly and travel the path of faith. But at the same time, I said, it's easy now. Why is it easy? With knowledge of Scripture, you will see that God told us about this time coming thousands of years ago. Hundreds, and I would say even thousands of years ago. God told us this time was coming. I have so much proof now that God is God and is real and is present at all times that I would actually have to go insane. I would. To step outside of religion. I would have to be absolutely insane. In fact, I don't think I would do it if I was insane. Because many insane people, they keep to their old life. You know, they know to go to the bathroom. They know how to go to the bathroom. A lot of the insane, they know how to go to the bathroom, and they know the old complaints they used to have. You know, if they didn't like this particular thing on the table while they were eating, they're insane now. But they, you know, so I'm sure I still have my Islamic mind. I'll still be God's servant, even if I was insane. I'd just be a crazy follower of God. And I guess we have a lot of those out there. When God says he's going to make man a Khalifa, God is saying that he's going to make him responsible for the whole environment, for himself, his family, people, whole environment. Who has that responsibility now in our national boundaries? The people. But who carry out that for us? Our government leaders. Our government leaders. They carry that responsibility for our public. Responsibility for the total environment. We have airspace that belongs to this nation. We have waters that belong to this nation. We have the resources in the land and in the water. All belonging to this nation, belonging to the people. And we have a government, a great government, democratic government, the best model of justice for human beings on this earth. And I didn't forget the Holy Land. I said on this earth. Yes. We have this great society, and the whole our government leaders, and the government leaders whole, industry, etc., responsible. So actually our government, carrying out the wishes of the citizens, us, are serving as Khalifa. Right? Yes. Some of us might say, well, it's certainly not a good Khalifa. Well, you have that right. But you're free to use your influence as an American citizen to get better government. So really, we are not in any terrible situation. We're in a good situation. If we don't have good government, we can do just what great Americans have been doing all along. Holding government accountable and getting better and better government. I'm talking to you all that don't want to claim your share of America. I'm claiming my share. I already claimed it. I'm obligated under Allah, God, your God and my God. I'm obligated under God to claim my share. Because before America said it, God said it. The Quran is over 14 centuries old. And God says in the Quran, get by the means that I have given you, work to get the hereafter. It's called the latter, not even called day. Doesn't say the last day, it says just the latter. Get the latter. That means coming later. That God promised you in the end, destination, at the destination. Says use whatever God has given you to get that. But don't forget your share in this material world. That's what God tells us, each and every one of us, in this religion. Now I'm in America, God obligates me to have a material share of America. And believe me, if you have material holdings, it puts you in a situation to care more about all of your rights. In fact, it awakens in you rights that you never knew, or rights that you perhaps have forgotten. Yes! But you have to strongly identify with it. We're in the city of Richmond, Virginia. We just shouldn't be here with our minds in another city and not here. Our minds should be firstly in Richmond, Virginia. I'm a citizen, resident of Richmond, Virginia. How am I faring here? And how are my neighbors faring? That's if you're a servant of God. That's if you're a Muslim, a believer in God. You can't just be here. When you know how your religion obligates you, then you have to stop thinking so small. You have to stop thinking so narrowly. You have to begin to open up your eyes to see bigger responsibilities. And the more responsibility you see, the bigger your spirit gets. Yes! I've heard some guys tell me, well, if you have spiritual strength, you can conquer all things. But how do you get spiritual strength? Spiritual strength comes when I see there's hope, and there are opportunities, and I can meet the demand. That's when my spirit gets stronger and stronger. When I know there's hope, opportunity, and I know I can meet the demand, then my spirit gets strong. Oh boy, it's strong.
Yes, sir.
We live in Richmond. Richmond should be our responsibility. Community. God awakens in us an obligation to Him to present ourselves always in the best condition. And then God tells us that He made you not just for yourself, but He made you for community life. He made you for community life. And God says to us, The Christians are a community. The Jews are a community. There are many communities that have not been mentioned in the book. But God has made man community. Isn't that wonderful? And God says that if you follow this religion, you are the best community evolved for the good of all people. Look, a prophet who's a mercy for all the nations, all the world. A prophet who's a model for any person who believes in God and is accountable to that God. And then God says a community that he have evolved, if they follow the religious guidance that he gave to Muhammad, that is the best community for the good of all people. So how can we work on building the nation of Islam and leave out our neighbors? Huh? Oh, we're going to have a great nation of Islam. We're going to have enough bean pies for every Muslim to have a bean pie on the table every day. But what about the neighbor next door who can't eat sweets, can't eat desserts today? They got camel soup ravioli or something. So you're not really living up to the model of Muslim if you are not having them in your plans. We have plans. We have plans. We have a plan, and we know how we're going to reach it. We have a plan to measure up to more of our responsibility as Muslims, following the guidance of the Quran in the way that it was shown to us by Muhammad the Prophet. We have that obligation, and we know in order to fulfill that obligation, we just can't have a place to pray. We have to be responsible for passing on Islamic knowledge to our children and qualifying leaders in the future to carry more of the responsibility for the community of Islam than we are carrying presently. We have to have better imams in the future than we have today. That means we have to be working to give our children that's coming a better Islamic education than we had the opportunity to get ourselves. So we have to see Muslim schools on the top list of our priorities for our agenda. Muslim schools, quality Muslim schools, teaching Arabic in the best way, not in any quick makeshift way to snatch somebody up to impress us. Yes, alhamdulillah, yes. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, brother, yes, I can teach you Arabic class. Yes, where were you trained? Where did you get your schooling? Oh, brother, mashallah, brother. Don't worry about that, brother. Allah takes care of everything. Allah will take care of everything. You can't have that. You've got to get qualified teachers. Qualified teachers. And give quality environment for the students. You live in America. You live in progressive USA. And you claim a religion that's equal to Christianity? And you're going to have a school that shames the neighborhood in America? No! You have to have a school that the neighborhood is proud of. You have to have a school that the public school system is proud of. The superintendent of school should come and visit our school and say, hey, this is a fine school. I want to congratulate you. See, God has given us a situation that will make it possible for us to go all the way to the end of the road, to the promised land, to the destination. A religion that will lift us up to the highest level of human ascension, political, financial,
not to mention morally,
but in every way. God has given us a religion that will satisfy. God says, not me, Allah says, God says in the Quran, that this religion is sufficient for any human being. So that means no matter how much God has created you to want in your life, if it's that is good for your life, this religion opens opportunities for that, or prepares you to go into the opportunities that will be open, and to open them if they're not there. Yes, this religion prepares you for that. So how are we going to have this big religion and not try to grow bigger ourselves? Our religion obligates us to have bigger appetites for better and for more in quantity. Yes, it conditioned us to have appetites for more in quality and more in quantity. God says of Muhammad that he found you drooping and he enriched you. And then God says also, surely I have given you of abundance, and I have created you that you may have increase, growth, prosperity. This is the way we should think. This is the way we have to think. Any leader in an over congregation who doesn't have his faith as a sincere requirement in his life, and he doesn't have respect for the human intelligence and their moral nature in his mind or in his makeup, and he doesn't have a desire to see prosperity, to see progress, to see people grow, to see people have more day after day, showing more and more, he's not an imam for Muslims. He's not an imam for real human beings. Human beings are not going to be happy. They're not going to be happy. They're not going to be content. They're not going to have a spirit to go anywhere if the person who is speaking to them and representing them or trying to motivate them doesn't have a desire, a sincere interest in following and obeying God and in respecting the excellence of each person that God made. You may disrespect your own excellence. I can't disrespect that excellence. I have to respect that excellence. You may not care anything about learning more or about improving your life or about taking care of your family responsibility, not to mention sharing in the responsibility for the city of Richmond. You might not have any interest in, at all in that. But I know God created you for that. So I'm not to look at the person that's showing it himself or herself to me. I'm to look at the person that's hidden behind that crap, that's buried under that crap. And I'm supposed to work until I bring that person out so that the real person that God made can have life and more abundantly. Some of us thought that, well, now that the imam have established that the religion, Islam, is the same here with us as it is in Mecca, we can get some of that Saudi money. Some say some of that oil money. Well, it's slippery money, I can tell you that. Get some of that oil money. And look how much money the Emirates got. Now, how come we can't get some of that money? Because God wants you to have your own life. And that's more important for you down the road than money. God wants you to have your own life. There's never been a spirit in me to go and ask anybody else outside of this country for anything. In fact, I don't have a spirit to go and ask non-Muslim for anything. No. I want us to have the joy for the first time since we lost our life on the continent of Africa. And I won't say slavery, because we wouldn't have been brought here and put in bondage here in this country if we hadn't already invited somebody to do that. So obviously our life on the continent of Africa had deteriorated so, humanly speaking, civilization-wise, it had deteriorated so that we invited somebody to come and get us and put us in bondage. So I don't believe that we have had our own life in our own hands for many, many generations. Many, many generations. And I believe that what makes African Americans dissatisfied with the state of their life is not so much what America is denying us, but what our souls want, and we don't have light on. We don't have the light on the scene to see just what our soul wants. So we think the soul wants the white man to be nicer still. And really what the soul wants is for us to stop asking others for so much and start looking for more to do for our own selves. That's what the soul is asking for. Our soul has a mind of its own. Listen to me now. I'm a deep, deep man. Our souls have a mind of its own. The mind that God created it with. And we be doing things, and so that's not what our soul mind goes along with. But our soul can't communicate to us simply because we have been so long out of communication with our souls. The lines have become clogged up. The lines are all clogged up. We can't get any clear communication. So the soul is strained, can't reach you anymore. But that soul knows what it wants. It wants the full responsibility that God created it for. It ain't happy when it looks at an Oprah Winfrey. That's most likely, as one writer said, is going to be the first African-American billionaire. But that ain't enough for the soul. The soul looks way up there and see Oprah Winfrey with all of this following, black and white and Asian and everybody. Everybody accepting her and loving her. And all that money just pouring in. And the soul is sad because the neighborhood, African-American as a group, still in bad shape. Still not having responsibility. Not as a group. Not having responsibility. In this city of Richmond, I'm told, that it's almost an African-American city. The percentage is what? What is the percentage of African-Americans here? Majority? Over 60%? 53%? Majority? You're in the majority. And you got the minority looking out for you and taking care of you like you wear Pampers? That's a shame. Something's wrong. And if you go and review what I said today, you'll see the answer. You'll discover the answer if you don't already know it. If you go and review what I said to you today, you will discover the answer. We've been cut off from natural growth, natural evolution of society. The natural growth, the natural evolving, our evolution of society, we're cut off that. Slavery cut it off. Something happened on the continent of Africa to make us blind to that responsibility, or to that favor of God in the nature of human society. Yes, and we came over here and we were cut off. We were denied opportunity to even seek it. And then slavery was ended, and then discrimination made it very difficult for us to come into a new mind, to look at ourselves, as look for responsibility to take into our own hands. And right now, there are too many of us professional African Americans who will say to me right now, "You are naive, brother man. The white man ain't gonna let you do that." Malcolm X said that he wants whatever a white man wants. Yes, when he was questioned, what do you all want? He said, "Ask yourself what you want." He said, "And that's exactly what I want." Now that's great, and I like the way you responded. But I hope you won't disappoint us, because most of us, when we applaud what Malcolm said, we are just talking about money. Yes, jobs, money, benefits, rights, but not responsibility. Now the big help comes to us when our leaders will stand up and tell the white man, "We want the same responsibility that you want." We want responsibility for the way the town will be run. We want responsibility for factories. We want responsibility for land and for structures built on the land. We want responsibility for planning the neighborhood and developing it. We want all of the responsibility that God has created any man for. Teach your children to think that way, and we won't be arguing rights anymore. We won't be complaining too much anymore. We will be making progress. Yes. And you don't have to be rich. Oh, I got these immigrants, they come over here and they get in the neighborhood, and reason why they able to have stores and operate stores and pretty soon own things, it's because they get so much help from our government. And you don't know that. But you heard somebody say it. Some of them do get help. Government feels it owes help to some of them. You don't know what they've been doing over there in that country to help this government. Putting their life on the line, risking their family lives to support our government, when the majority of their people was against it. Some of them that come here, that was their situation in their land. And the government offered them so much protection for putting their life on the line, trying to help them, make the land better as America sees it, you know, through the eyes of Americans. And they come over here, they come back here, and they don't have anything. Their people didn't give them a chance to have anything, or took everything from them. Some of them lost everything. contribution to the nation. Communists, whoever, took over that, was in charge of the land. They lost everything. They wouldn't submit them to have anything. Some of them were rich. They had factories and everything. New order come in and take everything. Government confiscate everything in the name of the nation. And they come over here with nothing. So the government knows about this and feels obligated. Then some of them, government feel obligated to give a certain amount of help to a certain percentage of people outside of America anyway. That's an obligation. You're supposed to help your own, but you're also supposed to have charity for those abroad. So that's the way of the government. So they come here and we're jealous. They do this because of it. Those people come here, most of them, they come here and they will do without color television. They will do without that fine furnishing that we have. You know, we are poor people with rich life. Yeah, we are. We are poor people with a rich lifestyle. Rich lifestyle. They will do without that fine car, that fine car and everything. They will suffer to live, got three rooms. They will suffer to have three or four families in that small apartment. They will save money because they're not spending it. They will save that powerful U.S. dollar until they can get enough to invest it wisely. Yes, sir. Then they will invest it in a business of their own. Might take them maybe 15, 5, 10, 15 years, but for you to color television before they have one in their home. Yeah. And we know you're jealous of them. You envy them. We need to be deprogrammed and then taught how to live all over again. Anytime a whole race can be described as a consumer market, something is terribly wrong. And that's what we are. As a race or ethnic group, we are a consumer market. We are not producing enough to be described in any other way. We are a consumer people, a consumer market. That's what we are. Spending billions and billions of dollars, but not having one billionaire. Now, we think that's going to be awful exciting, and it's going to come soon, I believe, when we can say we have an African-American billionaire. And I just recently read about one European woman who's handling billions, not 1 billion, billions. Private family business company, private family company. And I imagine there are many more that have much more than that. Not to mention the men, the European American men, what they got. I can name you several men who are trillionaires. So that's not going to be any real big deal. But for one person, I got to say, she's a great achiever. Remarkable achiever. Yes. So what are we going to do about our situation as a group? We're going to change it. That's what we're going to do. We're going to change it. God is going to force us to change it. We are going to have to come into businesses, and we're going to have to come into communities where we live not just for ourselves in our little house, somewhere, our apartment, but we live for the neighborhood. Live for the whole neighborhood. And we don't see our success or our achievement in our family only, or in our little house and the car we own or the business we're operating only, but we have to see our achievement in the neighborhood progress. How much this neighborhood has progressed? How much this African neighborhood has progressed? Can't keep living in the neighborhoods and moving from one to another to have some false sense of achievement. Oh, yes. I'm separating from these niggas. I'm moving up there where the white folks live. They shame me every time I come out of my house and I can afford better. So I'm separating from these niggas. Well, you're just like the white bigots. He said, I'm going to run from these poor niggers. I couldn't keep them out of here, so I'm going to run from these poor niggers. I'll find me another place to live. I'll put up stakes somewhere else, put stakes up somewhere else. So you ain't no different. You're worse because he's not leaving his people. He's just going to catch up with the people of his class. But you're leaving your people because there ain't no people of your class that you can live with for long without poverty creeping in and the neighborhood going down. Because we don't expect you either. The white man moving in the neighborhood and it look real good and we can afford to rent there or buy there. And hey, I got the money. You can't keep me out of here. Now you think we gonna spare you? You living in a good, rich neighborhood with black folks, a bunch of professional Negroes? You think we're going to spare you? No, we're going to bring our poor ass right in your neighborhood, too. Soon as we get enough money, and we might get it from selling drugs or anything else, we're coming, baby. So don't keep running. Let's accept responsibility for the state and condition of our neighborhood. We have a plan. We're selecting business people with little bit. They're not rich. We don't have rich people. We're selecting, organizing business people who have small amount of investment money. And they are investing under the name, or in the company called Collective Purchasing Company, CPC. And we are committed, we are firstly Muslim, conscious Muslim. And our obligation is Muslim community life. That means we must have some geography for our community life. If we are to fulfill what God asks of us, we must have some geography for our community life. We must have some geography for house of worship, schools, cultural centers, for social outlets, social activities, etc. We must have responsibility for building homes, designing the neighborhood. This is God wants us to be community developers. That's what he created us to be, community developers. So we won't have satisfaction in our souls until we become the developers of neighborhoods. You think I'm dreaming? I'm wide awake. And this is what wakes me up more, accepting this kind of responsibility. I got people with me. We're making progress. We're making progress. God is with us. God is not going to let the Saudi royal family give us no $1 billion so we can have a golden cage to live in, owned by the Saudis. No. God is not going to let Gaddafi give us $1 billion from his all reserve. No, all sales. No. God is going to deny us that. Why? Because God respects what he created us to be. God respects it even if we don't. And we have been separated from our motherland, separated from our traditional life, as an independent people, and brought over here in America, and now God insists that we learn and accept community responsibility. It's in the soul to have it. It was taken away when we were put in slavery. It's in the soul to have it back. Community responsibility, not just responsibility for myself or for my friends or for my family. No, community responsibility. It doesn't take everybody to do this. It takes nothing but a small number of people. Yes. Prophet Muhammad had a small number of exceptional men and women, and they were able to lead the way for the many. So don't say, oh, you can't do that. You'll never get all the blacks. I don't want all the blacks. I don't want all the Negroes. I don't want all the African Americans. I just want a few people who believe in what we can do and will accept this vision, and we will have the city in our responsibility in our hands. And white people, the white neighbors will be saying, these blacks are really running this city in a marvelous fashion. They're such wonderful, responsible leaders. I invite my friends in Europe to come and live here in Richmond, that they may come. If you invite me here, if you invite me, I will come to Richmond and live. With you being in the majority, with this really very impressive, traditional African-American leadership you have here, even though show-off Saad El-Amin, Attorney Green, what's his name? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Even that guy, I welcome him to be my friend again. And if they will support me coming here and will accept the vision that we have to bring community life into our hands, I will come here and be a citizen of Richmond, and I'll work with you, and we will set a model up in Richmond that will revive the black man everywhere in America. That will bring him to come back to life and responsibility for the environment that he shares. Thank you very much. That's my message today. God created us to inherit responsibility for community. We put it in the language, political responsibility. But exactly what we're talking about is community, is responsibility for the community that we live in and share in. Let us be responsible for it. My soul will never be satisfied. My soul will never be at peace until I know African Americans can be responsible for their own neighborhood without a lot of help or excessive help coming from outside. We should need no more help than a Mexican neighborhood, no more help than a Polish neighborhood, no more help than an Irish neighborhood. We should need no more help than any other neighborhood. We should be as responsible as any people that God has put on this earth. Thank you, and we pray for success and ask God to have mercy on us and show us the way, never to leave us alone, our Lord. Amen.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-862-5228. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.